Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. I am Atrol Perl, and it's time for your TNA Impact post-show, May the 2nd, 2024. I'm flying solo tonight because our pal Cresta Star has a birthday tonight. So I said, self, you can do this on your own. You've done it before. Some of you might not know this. My first ever Fightful post-show was the Impact Homecoming 2021 show. I did it on my own. I'll do it again. This one, honestly, not going to be very long. We're going to talk about Impact tonight. We're going to talk about Fightful Select. We're going to talk about everything. Under Siege, TNA Under Siege is tomorrow night. We will have a post show, or at least we're planning to. If the show is good, we'll talk about it. If the show's okay, we'll talk about it. If the show's not good, I might just go to bed early. I mean, we'll talk about it, but we'll be here at Fightful.com. If you haven't already, leave a thumbs up on the video. If you're listening to us in audio form, give us a five-star review if you haven't yet. What's wrong with you? If you want to donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or statement around the air. If you want to lead the discussion tonight, you can, because again, if I'm all alone, I need friends. And if I have friends, then I can do anything. But AJ Francis has a ton of friends. We jump right into TNA Impact for tonight. He's in the VIP box with the rest of First Class. Rich Swann is there. Bun B is there. The whole group is there, and they're having a ball. He says Joe Hendry has a special apology, so we're going to sit up in this box and enjoy TNA Impact until he does his apology. And there's a lot to talk about with that, and it was a lot of fun, but we'll get there. And then he says, you know, I challenge any fan to come on up here and then get tossed out by security. I thought that was pretty cute. We open the show with Mustafa Ali versus Chris Bey. That's our in-ring first match. Ali, always good. Ali is always solid. Chris Bey is always good, and it's a hometown match for him, so he's got what to do and what to prove, so I love it. This match, honestly, it was more Chris Bey than Mustafa Ali. It felt like Ali just told Chris Bey, hey, go ahead, do whatever. Let's just have, you know, a great match that makes you look good. And that's what they did. Chris Bey going coast to coast with the elbow drop while Ali is in the tree of woe. Love it. There's a really good amount of action here from Chris Bey. It's just solid. It's just good stuff. Chris Bey is wearing his ECW tights from the Philly tapings. Love that they're still doing that, because I like the ABC ECW style logo. It looks good. I enjoy it. Chris Bey gets to hit a vertebraker, which is something you don't see very often in wrestling these days. But he goes out there, hits a vertebraker on Ali. It looks good. It looks safe, which is most important in today's wrestling. But all in all, it doesn't matter because Mustafa Ali gets the victory. Security distracts the ref. They hit Chris Bey with the flagpole. Ali gets his 450, gets the win. But the rest of the match was all Bey all the time. It's a very babyface match for him. And you've got Ace Austin next to Chris Bey for the match. So, you know, you got a number one contendership match for that X Division championship coming up later in the night. It was going to be Ace Austin. It was going to be, sorry, I just had a brain fart, Trey Miguel. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But it was nice to see Austin with Bey taking on the X Division championship in a non-title match. Really enjoyed that. Lisha Edwards takes on Dani Luna. Lisha Edwards and Masha Slamovich are going to be partnering up to take on Spitfire. That's Dani Luna and Jody Threat. favorite of mine because, of course, Jody Threat is Torontonian, and so am I. So I always love me some Jody Threat. Lars Fredrickson of Rancid is on commentary. He guests on that because he was at Rebellion and we're still in Vegas for the tapings. He also said at the end of the match that he's going to be joining Spitfire at Under Siege. So tomorrow night in Albany, New York, you're going to see some Lars Fredrickson, which is pretty cool. He's been lending his voice and his music to Spitfire, and I really like that. He tells the story about how Jody Threat and Lars kind of met. And the story is that Rancid is playing in Toronto in 2003, and I found out it was at the Cool House. It's a venue that doesn't exist anymore, but it was a cool venue. And Jody Threat got into a fight with security, and then all of a sudden Lars found her, you know, outside the venue drinking a 40 afterwards, and that was the start of the story. I'm gonna ask Jody about this. I am going to ask Jody Threat about this story. Gotta get more intel because I know there's more to the story. If she's fighting bouncers, something started there. Something or someone started there. Either way, you got Masha and Jody just scrapping outside while Lish and Dana, Danny Luna are doing their thing. Lish takes out Jody Threat on the outside, and then Masha gets into the ring, hits a snowplow on Danny Luna. Lish goes back in. 1, 2, 3. That's the match. Lars sounds pissed, but at the same time, there's a part of me, believe it or not, that thinks, is Lars Fredrickson going to join the system? I don't think they're going to swerve, but I think maybe Lars will play a role in the match tomorrow night between Spitfire and Lish and Masha. Masha Lisha, as I've started calling them. Not Wrestle-licious, Masha Lisha. If you'll let me take a drink for a second. We'll continue. Who knows how long the show's going to be? It'll go as long as you want it to. But we got a super chat from Johnny. You can send any super chat, by the way. We can get your question statement right on the air saying, I don't mind Masha and Alicia, Masha Alicia, as I call them, because they've explained it for weeks. They're not friends. They're just using each other. And when Killer Kelly comes back from hiatus, maybe run an angle with the three. I agree with that. And we talked about it last week, myself and Cresta Star, the idea here being that this is just an allegiance based on convenience. And they've used that so much in the story, which is great. I want to see Masha and Alicia possibly win those tag titles, Killer Kelly come back and be like, what the heck is this? And Masha saying, you weren't here. I'm still a dominant force. So what does it matter? And Kelly saying, okay, I want my title back. And maybe the three of them have a little bit of something amongst each other. Maybe they turn on Alicia. Maybe Masha and Alicia turn on Killer Kelly. Either way, that's a poor phrasing on my part, but you got what I'm trying to say. I want to see these three run some sort of angle, because if there's one thing that the Knockouts divisions thrive on, it's titleless stories. And I want to see that. So we'll see what goes on. Speaking of titleless stories, Sami Callihan's back in TNA and he starts DMTV. Death Machine TV. He basically just says he's coming back to TNA to right the wrongs of the past. I don't know who's first on that list, because when he came back, he got involved in the Knockouts title match, and the people who are involved in that story are going to be in a mixed tag tomorrow night at Under Siege. So I'm curious to see who Sammy's going to go after. Maybe he'll go after Allen Angels first. Why not? I don't know who else he could go after. Maybe Chad, you have an idea of who it could be. But either way, quick, painless. Sammy's just back. And I don't know if that's good or bad for TNA. I know that Sammy's been around TNA for a long time, has a lot of friends in TNA, but he's there and he's going to be a part of the program for now. Hammerstone defeats Cody Deaner in a Sin City street fight. I interviewed Cody Deaner, I think it was beginning of 2023. We were at a Greektown wrestling show in Toronto. Deaner was telling me a bit about his story in wrestling. And he tells a story about how he used to come out, you know, long-haired kid dancing and coming out to the song Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. You know, the song Pour Some Sugar on Me. He would come out and he would literally pour sugar on him when he got to the chorus. That's what I want out of this Cody Deaner. I want Deaner. He's this close. He's this close to doing it again. But we're going to see what they do. He comes out and basically says, you know, man of the people, so on and so forth. And then he says, let's up the ante a little bit. Hammerstone takes the mic, says, Deaner's pathetic. He's starting to pander to the audience, and that's his gimmick, and it's stupid. Hammerstone challenges Deaner to an arm wrestling match. And Diener counters and says, how about a Sin City street fight? And of course, that gets the crowd going. And I'll tell you this, as much fun as I'm sure the live crowd had for this, it went very long. And I don't think it needed to go as long as it did. It was a very 50-50 match in something that should have been just Hammerstone demolishing Diener quicker. Diener got a little bit of, of offense, and he was fine, but there's nothing for Diener right now compared to Hammerstone. This is something that myself and Jeremy Lambert continue to talk about on our Fightful Overbook show in the weeds, where we're talking about squash matches and how squash matches aren't a bad thing. If you, and TNA does this by, they do it sometimes, but you can get someone like Diener to lose in 5 minutes and just let it go. And especially because this is kind of teasing Diener and Jake something possibly reuniting. I don't think the match needed to go as long as it did. Hammerstone drives Diener through a table, puts him in the torture rack, gets the win, and then post-match, Jake something comes out. He jumps over the ring, jumps over the ropes, lunging at Hammerstone in the process, just launches himself. Security comes out, breaks them up, and it's going to be a big hoss fight tomorrow, and I'm excited for that. I'm very much looking forward to Jake something versus Hammerstone. That's a match that has had a very quick turnaround. Oh, I mean, the whole card has, but it's been a quick enough turnaround that this is a match to get excited for because it has legs to happen again and again under different scenarios and different reasons. It doesn't have to be just one-on-one. It could be for a title somewhere down the line. Don't know which one, but either way, these two men have a lot to prove, and this match could be the show stealer for Under Siege. I'm looking forward to that one. They're doing, it's a people's Diener, and that's fine. It'll get him over. He does stuff like this on the indies. It's a crowd-pleasing gimmick. It's fun. It's just the match itself didn't need to be as long as it was. It felt like they were kind of killing time trying to fill the program. Ricardo sends a super chat saying, glad you're back, Joel. Here's some money. Well, thank you. I appreciate your money as always, and I appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thursday night post-TNA, post-ROH. Hopefully, Kate and SB3 did a good job, even though it seems like they were fighting at the end. You can go back and listen to that if you really want. We'll get to the other super chat in a few minutes. Looking forward to Under Siege, and we'll talk about the card in a little bit, but Nick Nemeth will not be taking part in Under Siege because last week he got taken out by the system to end the show. Nemeth is working the New Japan show that SB3 was mentioning during the crossover. So Santino, by the way, in last week's digital exclusive where they wrote off Nick Nemeth, calling him Neck Nemeth. Yes, I know who he is. Probably the funniest thing Santino's ever said. And I'm not always very kind to Santino Marella. This was one time where I actually said, okay, Neck Nemeth, I know him well. I was like, oh, all right, that's funny. Broken Matt Hardy is going to take the place of Nick Nemeth tomorrow night. And the sixth man, that's going to be Matt Hardy, Trent the Seventh, Ball of Speed, aka Trent Seven, and Speedball Mike Bailey, Speedball Mountain. And then they cut a promo saying the system will be deleted. And then Matt Hardy talks about adding both men to House Hardy. And it's just comically massive. He goes over literally everyone who's in House Hardy. And I wish I had written it down, but it's basically the entire family plus, and the drones and basically all the Hardy lore. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a massive family. This is a very big family. And then afterwards, Hardy does his little bite where he does, and he bites the camera. Speedball does it right after him, and I think is the funniest, stupidest thing in the world. And that got me laughing. I don't know what I'm going to see in that six man at Under Siege. And when we preview that, I don't know what to expect, but we'll get there. The system later on, they cut a promo on the stage saying they're going to delete them instead. So there you go. And that Lish is going to win tag team title. They did a Jonathan Gresham vignette, and I've been putting these over recently, both on the post show and on my socials at Joel Pearl. I'm really enjoying this. We sat here for weeks leading up to the TNA rebrand, coming out of, the Impact winter, cold winter, as it were. And I said, what are they doing with Jonathan Gresham? Because he's nowhere to be found. He's kind of written off after the Toronto tapings, didn't know where he was. And then all of a sudden he's brought back in these vignettes and he's got his new mask and he's got this new idea pitch for a character, a new rebrand. And he sits down with Santino Marella and Santino says, I hope this time we have a much smoother sailing. And he talks about a return match versus Kushida. Now, when he says that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, they're going to tape that for the TV tapings and they'll run it maybe next week. That'd be great. Well, it turns out that match is actually going to happen tomorrow night at Under Siege. It's Kushida versus the returning Jonathan Gresham. And I am excited for that. I'm not excited to watch Kushida lose another match, but he's also going to be rudderless because his boys are gone. Motor City Machine Guns have moved on from TNA. So Kushida, you know, needs a new dance partner, and Jonathan Gresham is going to be one of them. So Gresham shakes Santino's hand. Santino walks away, notices he's got ink in the palm of it. And then the masked double walks in, sits down opposite Gresham. It's a little spooky dooky. And I know some people don't love that, but I like the idea that at least the Gresham octopus is trying to be different from Gresham the man. And I hope that there's something will make him snap and become the octopus versus something versus like he's just a good wrestler who can tie you up. I like that he's adding a little bit more to the character, and I look forward to seeing his presentation like actually happening in the ring on Friday at Under Siege. We'll see how that looks. Tell you what looked real good. Joe Hendry. So Joe Hendry comes out, and I had been told that this was hilarious when they taped it. And it did not disappoint. In fact, it's the thumbnail for the show. I haven't uploaded it yet, but I'll tell you now. It is the thumbnail. Hendry comes out and he says, how do we get here? You know, I feel bad, blah, blah, blah. And he starts playing the hits in this feud. And you've got First Class are up in that box that are opposite Hendry watching him. And he starts playing the songs that set up this feud between First Class and Joe Hendry. And Dahl is getting just progressively angrier, and it looks so good. His reactions are so perfect, and he's got the sunglasses on. He's just hiding. It's like, he's so angry. And then Hendry does it. I start hearing the riff for Creed's Can You Take Me Higher? And I'm just like, no, he didn't. And then he absolutely launches into it, and the chorus is, can you please get fired? Can we kick you out the door? I was cackling. I don't do that a lot in wrestling, but this was funny. Played it well. That's one thing I talk about this on other shows. If there's one thing wrestling does really poorly, it's mixing music. But if it's just a guy in a ring with an acoustic guitar, you're just mixing the levels for volume of the guitar and volume of the voice. They did a good job of this. It didn't get mixed up at all. It was mixed very well, simple, effective, hilarious. I love that Joe Hendry right now is on a tear when it comes to Spotify and Apple Music. He's got his I Believe in Joe Hendry song out there, tearing up the chart in its own little way. If you can, go, you know, give him more listens on that song. It's really good. And it's his theme. Well, you're going to sit there and believe in Joe Hendry because that's what you do. And I really hope that we do pay this off in a one-on-one match for Dahl and Hendry. I don't know when. It could be a Slammiversary match, but it was so bloody funny. And Dex sent a super chat saying, Joe Hendry cooked this poor man with Creed, and AJ is really growing on me. His reactions were perfect. Yes. I don't understand why Dahl gets the hate he does now, because he continues to not only show so much love and professionalism for wrestling time and again and show that he's really good at this, but like he's so entertaining when he does it. He's not afraid to take the piss and just enjoy the story. He likes looking like a dumb heel sometimes. And he has the reactions down. He has the facials down. And people just want to say, oh, he did that flip thing. Well, you know, if you don't remember, that flip thing ended up being something that saved his life, because he would later on find out that he was having ridiculous blood sugar issues. And he could have been pre-diabetic or whatever it was. He got diagnosed because he screwed up a dive. And to make a long story short, the dude has been nothing but good for pro wrestling, nothing but good for humanity. He does good, and I appreciate that. He's fantastic. He really is. And I'm hoping sooner than later that we get to have a chat. Maybe Jeremy Lambert's going to have a rap battle with him. We're still trying to do that, but he's a good dude. You can find the story I'm talking about. It's on Fightful. He's talked about it openly. It was his tweet about it, because he was like, you know what? I'm sick of people trying to dunk on me for this shit. This is what happened. Like I understood the hate at first, because he wasn't presented as well as he could have been on WWE TV. But now the work that he's been doing in the last 4 to 6 months man, you got to change your tune. And if you're still riding the, oh, what is this guy doing? He's doing a lot and you're just not paying attention, and he's worth paying attention to. And Joe Henry being the foil to Dalla works so well because they are both entertaining people in their own way. And the person I'm waiting to break out from this is Rich Swann, because he's not typically a heel. He's not typically a bad guy. This is an opportunity for Rich Swann to be totally different in presentation. That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that. Ricardo says, Dalla is awesome. The Fed effed up with him. You know what? I agree. Is there another chance down the line? I think so. But right now, I think Dalla is doing the best work of his career. And he keeps getting better. I'm not going to tell you he's the best wrestler in the world. That's not what he's going to tell you either. But he's going to go out there and he's going to entertain every time. And I can only respect that. Whether he's sitting in a box emoting, or if he's hitting someone with a box of Cheez-Its, the shit's good. And I appreciate it. I also appreciate the match between Ace Austin and Trey Miguel, because if you want to talk about two guys that go out there and entertain the hell out of you with their moves, it's those two guys. Winner of this gets the X Division Championship match against Mustafa Ali tomorrow night. Ace Austin gets the win. Trey Miguel kept yelling to the crowd about having tore his knee up. I don't know how true that is. He just went ahead and did it. It's one of those matches where I'm going to tell you this and the Knockouts title match. If you're going to watch two matches from tonight's show, those are the two you should go out of your way to watch. Ace Austin does get the win with the fold. The win felt, sorry to say the pun, inevitable, because they played off this whole thing was the ballots from last week. Trey Miguel had stuffed the ballot box. Ace Austin was the runner-up, but he was the legitimate runner-up. So it made sense. You give him a little something to go in, have a competitive match against Trey Miguel. These two guys are tentpoles. These two teams with the ABC, the Ace of Bays, and the Rascals, these are the tentpoles right now of TNA in their tag division. And you can have them go out there and have banger singles matches. Those are the types of guys you want on your roster as much as you can, because otherwise, what are you doing? These are guys who can come out and have not just great matches, tell good stories, but then team up and have really, really good tag team matches. You can't mess with these guys. There's a lot of growth too, because they're still young. They're still getting it going and still going hard. Ace Austin is a guy that myself and anyone who reviews a match with Ace Austin says he's prime for a singles run. Chris Bay as well. Trey Miguel as well. He's been X Division champion. Zachary Wentz is another guy who's on the up. And shout out to Wes Lee, who just came back, by the way, another Rascal. Came back to WWE on NXT this past week after an injury that many thought was going to be a retiring injury, I should say. But he's back. Rascal's on top, man, and ABC's doing well too. But Ace Austin, he's going to face Mustafa Ali for the X Division Championship tomorrow night. Knockouts title in the main event. Jordynne Grace defeats Miyu Yamashita, but not before. Gotta take a drink.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother. Body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
By Elegance is introduced in her own box. And then they announce that they're doing a countdown. It's going to be Jessica Havoc versus Ash by Elegance. I'm wondering who's going to join Ash by Elegance, because if Havoc's there, Rosemary can't be too far behind. So I'm wondering if maybe Ash by Elegance gets a friend and possibly goes for the tag titles somewhere down the line. I wouldn't hate that, because I think a lot of us, when Ash came in, were fretting a little bit about her being pushed right to the Knockouts World Championship. But it feels like maybe they're not doing that. It feels like there's a slow burn with Ash, and that's good because she's getting progressively better in a TNA ring with the talent that they have. So why not do the Havoc match and then possibly run this into a tag team? Maybe Ash gets the win over Havoc, and that's because someone comes in and stands by her side. I wouldn't hate that at all. Dex, going back to the last match we were talking about, saying, I came to Impact in June 2020. Ace and Trey were being called the future then. When is their time? This is a good question, because it has been almost 4 years now since all that started. Their time has literally been for the last few years. And that's what's frustrating about everything we're talking about. Every time that we think they're going to be main event stars, someone else comes in and ends up kind of performing above them. And it's not a call that we make, obviously, we're fans, but there has been the call for a long time for Ace and Trey and Wentz and Bay to have those standout moments. I want to see Bay have a standout X Division championship run. I want to see Ace Austin go after the world championship. Problem is, the people holding the world championship right now, speaking of Moose specifically, and if it had been Nick Nemeth too, they're bigger, much bigger than Ace Austin. If Josh Alexander gets it back, or Steve Macklin, any of those like TNA guys, you know what I'm talking about? That's when I want someone like Ace to really step up and go after a TNA championship. You got to make it believable, and Moose makes it hard to make it believable because he's so big and he's so quote unquote main event style. So I'm wondering when their time is. Chris Bay for the world title, there's room there. I want to see Bay have a standout singles title first in the X Division is where I want to see him right now, because that style just screams X Division for me. And also, like, Ace Austin's Quadzilla. He's with the Massive Quads. Come on. You give Massive Quads get a title, right? Is that other than Quadzilla, they get a world title? Anyway, not important. Go back to the match. Grace wins with the Juggernaut Driver. This match, again, go out of your way to see it. It's one of those matches where you know that Miyu Yamashita is going to come out. It's going to be a fantastic match. Once they made it a Knockouts title match, it was obvious that Jordan was going to win, but it's less about who wins the match at that point and more about the competitive nature of this contest. Very back and forth, very good stuff. There's not much I can add in terms of the story element to it, because everything that was storyline driven happened afterwards. So I'm just going to put it like this. Post-match, Khan and Steph DeLander attack. PCO comes, makes the save. They do the lights on, lights off. They do another horny tease between Steph DeLander and PCO. And then, of course, Grace gets rid of her, and she's standing tall to end the night. I'm going to be honest, I don't care much about this tag match. I don't care much about the Knockouts title right now, because it seems to just be in limbo. They don't have a TNA not original, but a TNA star, a homegrown feeling star to come in and challenge Jordynne Grace, who is a homegrown TNA talent herself. The last person was Giselle Shaw, and she's primed to come back soon. Talking about Ash by Elegance, by the way, there's someone who can easily team with Ash, but I think Giselle's on her way to a babyface run. Regardless, but Jordynne Grace, someone needs to step up to her who feels formidable. I don't know who that is. And TNA has done a good job of having multiple women on the show, but there are a lot of newer faces that are not there yet, because Jordynne Grace is in a different level compared to a lot of the talent that are currently on the roster. I want to see Danny Luna step up. I want to see Jordynne Grace step up again, but they got to make it more believable if they're going to have title matches and not just, you know, someone won Ultimate X or someone won an 8-4-1 match. I want to see someone come in and be as dominant as Jordynne Grace has been to call their shot or get their opportunity for the Knockouts World Championship. But we're not there yet. There's nobody there who has made it happen. The match with Miyu Yamashita was really good. Again, solid match. Great seeing Miyu back. She was in the multiverse of matches back in 2023 or 2022. And she was going for a shot for the Knockouts World Championship. She didn't win there, but she looked better this time than she did then, and she looked great then. Jordynne Grace still gets the win, and now we're running into Under Siege tomorrow night. Myself, Crest of Star, we will be live if all goes as planned. We'll be here on Fightful.com talking about the show. Let's just run down the card real quick. On the countdown, they're doing FBI versus Who Knows. I think it's going to be the Rascals at this point. Bring back Myron Reed. You've got Trey and Wentz. They're not doing much, so why not run FBI versus the Rascals? Or maybe it's going to be someone random. Maybe it's going to be Rhino and two new friends. Easy as that. I don't think they've announced the actual opponents, unless they have, at which point someone in the chat's going to tell me. I'm waiting for Kylan King to come back, by the way. Speaking of Kylan King, I saw in the chat someone mentioned her. The ACL injury sucked. She was on the ascent. She was someone who was absolutely on the ascent. And when she does come back, I think there's room to make her a standout member of the Knockouts division. Ash by Elegance takes on Jessica Havoc. Feels to me like this is going to be a win by Ash. Someone's going to help her. Havoc and Rosemary are going to get involved and start a bit of a tag team program between them. They announced tonight Jonathan Gresham versus Kushida. If Kushida wins this, I will be shocked. Very much shocked. Feels like Gresham's going to come out and have a banger of a time. What's next? Jordynne Grace and PCO take on Steph DeLander and Khan. I said this on a couple of shows ago. It felt like this was supposed to be Matt Cardona and Steph DeLander versus Jordynne Grace and PCO, which would have been fine. They brought Khan back. They had just kind of finished with PCO. It's not doing it for me because we were done. We were done with PCO and Khan. Now we're renewing it for the sake of having to pivot for Matt Cardona, who was injured. And again, that's not confirmed that that's what it was, but just reading the tea leaves, it felt like Cardona had come in, seconded Steph DeLander, felt like they were going to get involved. But instead, it's going to be Grace and PCO versus Steph DeLander and Khan. Not very happy that one of the bigger titles in TNA are not being defended. There's only two titles on the line, unless Laredo Kid's going to defend, at which point, sure, that's three. Grace and PCO should just win this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Steph pins Jordynne Grace in some sort of tomfoolery, and Steph DeLander versus Jordynne Grace is out against all odds in Chicago. Wouldn't be surprised to see that. Eric Young and Josh Alexander take on the team of Frankie Kazarian and Steve Maclin. This is a very simple story that's going to lead to a very good tag team match. These four guys are fantastic in the ring. These four guys have so much that they like to prove when they go out there. They don't need to prove it. They just like to prove that they can all go out and have these like show stealing matches. And on a match where you've got a couple of really potential fire matches, this is going to be, I think, one of those sleeper matches. I expect Maclin and Kazarian to get the victory. Maclin pinning Eric Young would kind of make sense because it's time to start rebuilding Maclin, especially after he announced that he's re-signed with the company. Josh Alexander's on the ascent, so he doesn't need to, you know, have that pin on him, but he can take the L in the form of a tag match where he's not actually the one being pinned. That's going to be a good tag match. Hammerstone and Jake Something taking a swig of this because, whew, it's going to be good. I mentioned it earlier. These two dudes can very likely have not just a solid, fun match, but a match that you can revisit down the line. And if you do that, you have two surefire main eventers in your midst. And they've been trying to do it with Jake something, and they know what they have in Hammerstone. This is a jockeying for position type of match. And both men can win and lose simultaneously. In other words, one man can lose the match, but they will win for having had a strong match with the other. And you can revisit that match later for a title or in some sort of gimmick match, whatever it is. This is something that people, I think, are really going to love. This is just two big dudes fighting. And it could get closer to the Diener and Jake something reunion. And I don't know who Hammerstone's going to be friends with by the end of this. Give me Hammerstone and Allen Angels. I don't know why Allen Angels is on my mind right now, but give me those two. Hammerstone and Angels, just so that Hammerstone can smack Allen Angels in the head once in a while. Out of love, of course. But I'm looking forward to that one. I don't know who wins this match because Hammerstone's on a tear, but Jake something just lost last month. And so did Hammerstone. This is the match of two losers, to be honest. So again, like I said, jockeying for position for both men. And you can't have this one just be a count out or a no contest, because that's how you have both men lose, in my opinion. If they take each other out at the same time in a double spot where they knock each other off the stage or something in a big moment, yeah, it's fine. But I want to see a definitive winner in this match, because you can do it again with bigger stakes next time. Speaking of big stakes, Knockouts World Tag Team Championships on the line. Spitfire defend against Masha Lisha. That's Alicia Edwards and Masha Slamovich. Lars Fredrickson's going to be there. He said, I think Spitfire are going to drop those tag team titles to Alicia Edwards and Masha Slamovich. As we talked about earlier tonight, when Killer Kelly comes back, she will play into this whole thing. And she's someone that will make this threesome, as it were, a very interesting one. Let Danny Luna and Jody Threat continue being a Knockouts tag team while still going individually for the Knockouts world title against Jordynne Grace. There's room there. I would like it. The system. I'm going to leave the X Division Championship for last because it's more interesting for tomorrow night. System, Moose and Brian Myers and Edward Edwards. Can you tell I've been talking all day? System's going to take on Matt Hardy and Speedball Mountain. Supposed to be Nick Nemeth. Now it's going to be Matt Hardy. To me, this screams Matt Hardy pins Moose or Matt Hardy pins Brian Myers, because that's typically who gets pinned. And then Matt Hardy gets to say it against all odds. It's going to be you and I, Moose, for the world title. Tell you where I don't want it. I don't want it at Slammiversary. I don't think Matt Hardy versus Moose is a Slammiversary main event. In the lore of, we have a classic TNA championship match with a guy who made a big splash in TNA and Matt Hardy and Moose, who's been a lifer of a TNA. I get that in terms of telling the Slammiversary story, but I don't think Matt Hardy versus Moose would be the reason hardcore TNA fans would watch Slammiversary this year. I don't know what the Moose versus Josh Alexander would be more up the alley of those people, for a multitude of reasons, including the fact that it's in Montreal, it's in Canada. So Josh Alexander competing for a world championship there makes sense. Matt Hardy, I don't know what you do with him, but you put him in a special match, there's something there. There's going to be cinematic stuff with Matt, but it's not going to be Matt Hardy doing Slammiversary cinema match, because people aren't going to sit there, you know, for 20 minutes watching a screen. They did that to us once at Emergence. They didn't have to. When they did the Frankie Kazarian versus Edward Edwards thing. And we said, why didn't we just watch this on an episode of Impact? Why did they do this to a captive audience at Emergence? It was very silly. I don't think they should do that again to a live crowd when you tape your show anyway. Why not make it first run content on your television show and then run it on your socials? Either way, not what I'm expecting. I am expecting Matt Hardy to get the win, pin Myers or Moose. Eddie Edwards, some reason, just doesn't get pinned. And then we'll move on from there. And then finally, rounding out the card, I feel like this could be a main event match again. X Division Championship on the line. Mustafa Ali defends against Ace Austin. If it doesn't main event, then it's going to open the show. Mustafa Ali wins. I feel like that's the way. Ali's not done yet with his X Division title run. It could run till Slammiversary. That's July. You got a few more months to go. It could go longer. It could go to Bound for Glory. Whoever he faces at Against All Odds, that's going to be a huge match for Ali because that's Chicago. That's Mustafa Ali's home base. That could be a huge moment for him. Whoever he faces, that could be a big deal. I think the match with Ace is going to be great. I think it's going to be another match where we all say, holy shit, Ace Austin's really good and we should be doing more with him. But Ali's going to win. And hopefully they make it look good for both men at the same time. We'll see where we go. But that's the Under Siege card. We had a couple super chats. Let me get to this. Actually, we just had the one from Ryan. Said, I really enjoyed Miyu and Grace this week. And it was a great match. Again, go out of your way to watch it. The whole show was fine. I just said it at the crossover. The problem with TNA right now is that they come off of a pay-per-view and then they do a one-night taping where they tape two episodes of the show and then they go to the next town and they do a special on a Friday night. And it's like, we discombobulated. Because I thought I at least had 3 weeks before we went to the next PLE or special event, whatever it is. And instead, we're going to be here tomorrow night talking about Under Siege in a card that, you know, on paper is like a 5 out of 10. It's not an amazing card, but it has potential. They all have potential. The wrestlers know how to wrestle. It's how they come out of the stories that they tell running into Against All Odds and Slammiversary season. That's what it's going to do. This is a good Friday night, you know, nothing else is on. SmackDown's on, sure. But SmackDown's also taped, actually. I'm telling you now, FYI, because they're in France, so it's pre-taped. So, you know, get the spoilers and then come and watch Impact with us, TNA. Yeah, you can do it. I'm not going to tell you, but you can do it. And then come and watch Cresta and I talk about the show afterwards. That'll be fun. There's no Rampage. There's no AEW this weekend because of the playoffs. So, you know, come watch Under Siege with us. Come and talk about it with us. We'll be live. If you want, go to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Get the news. Get the scoops. Jeremy Lambert and I did a Q&A. That was fun. Got a lot of really good questions talking about the wrestling, talking about life. And you can watch us on In the Weeds on Fightful Overbooked. That's free. Go to YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked. We're live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. We're going to have Ricardo Rodriguez. He goes by Jesus Rodriguez now in MLW. We're going to be talking to him tomorrow morning, so come and join us. And I am back with Cresta tomorrow night talking about Under Siege. But we're here every Thursday night after TNA Impact to review the show. So if you haven't yet, leave a thumbs up on the video. And you can subscribe to us here at YouTube.com/Fightful. I've been out of breath. I'm tired. And I'm going home. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.